When we began teaching, and we began with the baptism of fire, teaching high school boys, and that is something. We were instructed. Didn't always work, but that's the way the instruction went. Never let on that you're afraid. And you may be quaking in your shoes, but don't let on. Never a quiver in your voice. And in general, the surest sign of a teacher's insecurity is when they begin to shout. Now, people can shout in 100 ways, right? So don't mistake shouting for security. In fact, it's usually just the opposite. Religious need reassurance. And I would almost say of you, forgot everything else that I will hope to share with you during these 2 semesters. Don't forget that. You are dealing with insecure, uncertain, fearful human beings. Reassurance, both of God's love for them and the strength He will give them and the willpower that we talked about. And they'll come back to you. Do you think I can make it? I know you can. I told you that just an hour ago. Yes, I just wanted to hear it again. And fourth, counseling means giving principles to people so they won't always have to be counseled, that is, by someone outside themselves. Speak, and my notes say, to the mind and heart. Counseling is in the order of knowledge, belongs to the intellect. When I counsel someone, I enlighten that person's faith. Because in one sense, you are forming a new conscience, the conscience of a religious. And on that level, they are, as it were, infants. It's not that they're immoral. There is just a lack of moral principle. They can do the stupidest things without thinking they're doing wrong. Would you agree? If you do, thanks. The lack of knowledge of the principles of the spiritual life, I think, is the single main reason for more people not being more holy. When you enlighten them and make sure that they understand what you're trying to get across, they will never be totally independent of counseling. We always need, even as we know in our later years, we need counsel from others. But we will be more and more self-reliant in the best sense. If you can get your hands on a copy of St. Augustine's little book called The Teacher, get it. It must be an English translation. It's called De Magistro in Latin. Augustine talks, it's in a dialogue, talks about the real teacher in our lives, Christ, dwelling in the depths of our mind, enlightening us. So any help you can give your charges to know what principles Christ has laid down, how to listen to His voice, how to distinguish His voice from one's own imagination. So giving principles, that's P-L-E-S, in the spiritual life, is the fourth feature of counseling as a human enterprise. Second, counseling means deepening the possession of the gift of counsel, the gift of the Holy Spirit in the soul of that person. Now, I hope I won't be misunderstood. And no two of us are quite the same in dealing with others. There are people who are naturally intrusive into other people's lives. They will tell you to do things without, well, not qualm. They just think because they said so, you should do it. People who think nobody else has freedom except they, the freedom to tell others what to do. That's one extreme. There are others who have somehow mistakenly assumed that their role as counseling, and I'm talking on the second level, is to leave it entirely to the person themselves, that their best counseling is by giving them a good example. Well, now, we're going to talk about good example. But when you counsel somebody, you open your mouth, you say something. What I want to point out, and what I have learned in my own dealing with souls, there are two kinds of respect that those in charge of formation should have toward those under their care. First, respect their freedom, that you don't bludgeon or coerce, even without intending to. Some people are so naturally blustering, they don't even realize that they're telling people off. So respect the freedom of other people. Because remember, the virtue that we practice is in direct proportion to the use of our freedom. Just because somebody tells me to do something does not per se give me merit for doing it. I may do it to keep out of trouble. So people must want to do what they should do, respect their freedom. But for our purpose, and more importantly, respect the working of the Holy Spirit in their souls. Invite the person to reveal the workings of the Spirit in their souls. Now, this is a little different than the self-revelation that we're commonly associating with, say, manifestation of conscience. The problems, the mistakes, the sins that we've committed. Some people find it very difficult to reveal to others the workings of divine grace. It's important. Because if I don't know how the Holy Spirit is working in their soul, I may make all kinds of mistakes. I may try to substitute for the Spirit. I may be giving counsel which is alien to the way the Spirit works in this person. Or I may be jumping ahead of the person's grace. Counsel pertains, this is in general, to the practical knowledge of how to practice virtue. That's a good definition of counsel. The practical knowledge of how to practice or perform acts of virtue. Practicality is of the essence of counseling. And I would add that unless those under your care are taught not only what and why they're supposed to do certain things, but how, they can be more frustrated than you can imagine, and you might put it down to a lack of generosity. For example, there are prosaic souls and poetic souls in life and in religion. There are some people that are so prosaic, their lives are one series of single declarative sentences. Never a burst of creative imagination. Never a figure of speech. Now, living the religious life faithfully is not prosaic. It does take imagination. And consequently, people in being counseled, so the gift of the Holy Spirit might be more activated in their souls, must be also taught how. Now, again, I draw on figures that I'm not that familiar with. Time was when I did cook, bake cakes and pies. One of my less publicized achievements, I can make noodles starting with flour. And when you finally cut it without cutting your fingers. My mother taught me. She worked, and I had to do a good deal of cooking, just the two of us, as a child. The how of virtue is partly telling people, do it this way or don't do it that way. It is mainly showing them. You may have to be more willing to reveal yourself than you realize. Am I clear? I've read by now, I think, everything the present Holy Father at least has published that is available. You know, one reason I think for his extraordinary popularity, he is very self-revealing. Very honest. And his frankness in talking to others is because he's so frank in talking about himself. Now, prudence, of course, must guide all the virtues. The difficulties in prayer. Now watch yourself depending on what the problem of the one that you are directing may be. You are not called upon to make a general confession to those that you counsel. But do you see what I am driving at? You must somehow be willing to, what shall I say, to manifest that your failings, your weaknesses, the struggles you may have had, or may still have, so that they won't feel that somehow you are a plaster statue. In the same context, to close this vast subject of counseling, from the beginning, cultivate in those under your charge a taste for the lives of saintly people. Saints, the almost saints, or persons who had a mixture of both sanctity and human weakness, but who have done great things for God. We need that kind of counseling. I could almost divide my life between two people who have mainly shaped it. St. Ignatius, who gave me the principles, and St. Alphonsus Liguori, who taught me how. Alphonsus taught me how not to waste time, on which I check myself every day. and sometimes the record is poor. Without offending, without being brusque, without, while the person is talking, fortunately I don't have a wristwatch, but it's even worse to pull my watch out of my pocket or to ask the person, what time is it? A big blunt reminder, you're talking too much. How? From preparing? Now, would you agree that the best way to learn how to cook is from somebody who cooks well? That recipes won't quite do it. Am I correct? Maybe some little thing they don't put into the recipe may make all the difference. One more point. In counseling, whatever you do, make sure that those whom you are directing sense that the spiritual life is a happy, adventurous enterprise. In counseling, you've got to be a supernatural salesman. If they ask what the price is, well, tell them you'll get to that. Praise the product. Let them find out for themselves how much it costs. Because the pursuit of holiness is the pursuit of happiness. You must believe it yourself. And if they see you rhapsodically happy, they'll want to know, how do you do it? That's for number one.
This concludes Father Hardin's lecture on how to counsel religious.